Jess Bergio, my dear friend, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to see you and very excited to be talking to you today.
I am beyond excited that you have a podcast that I get to come be on. I am so proud of you.
Thank you. I'm just so humbled by like what's transpired on this show so far with all the guests and the interviews. And man, it just feels really good. And so great to have you on here because when we connected at Chris Harder's roundtable event in November of 23, there was like this, magic sauce to you. And I want to like talk very highly of this woman because the moment I met you, Jess, you have a magnetism. There's an energy about you. And it's very captivating, especially if you've never met Jess before. And Jess will make you feel like you're $1 million. You can have the worst day in the world. Jess will make you feel like $1 million. But not only that, she has this word that's going to be kind of the central point of our conversation today about unscripted. And I remember asking you this at the roundtable. I was like, that's a really interesting word to describe authenticity. It's just unscripted. Because I would assume it's like, improvising, just flying by the seat of your pants. So, you know, first off, Jess, you're an amazing person, such a magnetic force. And I know you're just helping a ton of people right now. So really a great honor to have you on the show. So let's dive into this. This word unscripted. What do you mean by this? What is this word to you?
I'm sure it means something different to everybody. But for me, I started the podcast when my salon was closed. I had opened my dream salon space. It was 15 years in the making. And I was doing what I felt I was supposed to do. I was falling in line with the next step as far as my career, what everybody told me I'd be good at. And the podcast started with a different name. I was in the beauty industry speaking to a very hurt, confused, lost industry. And so the original name of the show was Beauty Inspires Beauty. It was really from a place of owning like that authenticity piece that beauty can inspire beauty through either the physical form or internally, right? And so I'd always come from that ethos with my clients. It wasn't just the outside transformation that they got to leave with. It was the experience. And like you said so beautifully about me, there was an energy exchange.
Right.
And after about 40 episodes of the podcast, it was going great. I was interviewing people. I started to feel a lot of resistance around the script that I was sticking to as far as the questions I was asking that were relative to the beauty industry. And, you know, I'd already been involved in Chris's mastermind, Fast Foundations, about a year prior to this happening. And so I was already exploring like different ideas of moving into the online space. And I was talking to my little brother, who's a rapper. He's a musician. And
really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, my younger brother, he's 11 years younger than me. And imagine getting picked up from preschool and kindergarten with your older sister with like the subwoofer in the back, listening to obnoxiously inappropriate rap music. So my brother, every card I get for Christmas and birthdays is like, thanks for always blasting the gangster rap in the car. Like he attributes everything to me. But my brother really owns his truth.
Yeah.
Just like your podcast. Like he will show up in whatever outfit. He talks what he wants to talk about. He shares what he wants to share. He's just unapologetically himself. And so he was the one I called and I was like, hey, this is coming up. I don't know why I felt called to call him. And he was like, what are you not doing that's authentically you on these episodes that you could do more of so that you would want to do them?
Oh, that's
and
so
I was
good.
Like, oh man, you know, so we were just talking and I just kept saying, I just want it to be like unscripted. I want it to feel very, you know, free flowing. And it wasn't then that word even registered for me, but I started to ditch the script. I started to just ask whatever felt intuitive. I am a good listener. I forgot that the acquired skills I had used for 20 years behind the chair were of use in this business. Yeah. Like being nosy, being inquisitive, listening, actually taking a conversation somewhere, right? I had to sit with clients for 2 or 3 hours at a time. I had to create cool conversation. Otherwise I would have hated it. And so it really wasn't until like a year later. So in that phase of that, that was when I started to maybe cuss a little bit more, like use the tone that I naturally have, which is a little more aggressive and to the point. And then I was able to work with this really amazing team who ran a podcast production agency. And she was the one that I really was like, I think you guys could help me rebrand. I want to create a brand out of the podcast. I don't want to only speak to beauty entrepreneurs anymore. I really want to include everybody else, while still giving a ton of respect and credit to the industry that grew me. And so I said to her again, I kept saying the word unscripted. I just want it to be unscripted. I'm very unscripted. I have no chill. I really don't have a filter. And that serves me well with a podcast. And she just said, we got to call it unscripted. It is you. You sometimes unapologetically like overstep, or sometimes, you know, I just sometimes channel and it is unscripted. And so when I tried to put myself in a box, you know, long story long, that's what held me back from authentically being able to connect with my audience. It's why I didn't grow really fast in the beginning of the podcast, because I had no clarity on who I was, how I was showing up, or what I was meant to do. So I found that all out through podcasting, which is why, you know, I love podcasting now and I'm obsessed with teaching it. But for me, the freedom that came with that word was literally everything. It's been a game changer. And it seems like such a simple word, unscripted. And I know there's a million other podcasts actually called that, or people call sessions of their podcast unscripted episodes. And I didn't care. I didn't care that that name had been taken 15 times. I didn't care that, you know, it might mean something to somebody else, or it might not be SEO optimized or friendly, or that nobody was keyword searching the word unscripted. I was like, fuck it. I have to do me. This has to be like the piece of my business. And from there, now I see it as a brand. I have Unscripted the Mastermind, Unscripted Lives coming to San Diego in June as like this personal development experiential hip hop based event. Like,
is your brother rapping there?
Oh, I don't know, but he would love that. Yeah. But my friends own a nightclub in San Diego. So it's going to be at the nightclub.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So to me, like having a personal development at a nightclub, that's unscripted. So long story long, to answer your question, the word feels like freedom. It feels free.
The word that gets associated also with what you said about being unscripted, you mentioned unapologetic. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us, and in what I'm finding, especially as entrepreneurs, are being very cautious and careful about being their true expressive self when it comes to being online or when it comes to their podcasts. There's a fear that comes around this idea that I can't say that because nobody will buy from me. You know, the fear of other people's opinions. And I thought it was I thought it was really intriguing as you were describing what this word unscripted meant to you, that the word unapologetic popped up multiple times. Why are people feeling so, in your perspective, why are people feeling so geared towards the fear of what other people are going to think about them and like feeling like they have to apologize for anything they said, that anything that they say that they believe is their truth or they believe is their lens of how they see things or perceive things.
Mm. Okay, so shout out to all the women listening to this podcast today. Mm. I think there's an underlying knowingness of an answer that I don't even have to say to women, because we have for generations been told how to act, behave, show up, what's appropriate, what's not. Yeah. And even more to what you're saying, and I know it's true for men too, so I won't just categorize women as being the only people put in a corner, right?
Yeah. It happens on both sides, you know?
It does. It does, right? And, you know, religious, politics, all of the things can come into play as to what's appropriate, what's not, what's a representation of success, what are we doing with our words? And words are really powerful. And so if you have something that's strictly like audio based, like what I'm saying, someone could take this literally. I was being really mindful that I was landing with everybody. I wanted to, really what happened when I called my brother at that time was when he asked me that question of why are you not showing up authentically? I was like, well, the word beauty inspires beauty, makes me feel like I have to be soft and in my feminine, and I shouldn't use the F word, and I shouldn't be so point blank with stuff. And he was like, well, that you can't be somebody you're not. And so pretending to do something in someone else's way is going to be exhausting. You're not going to want to do it, which is why you're having resistance right now. And so it's not even so much about what people are afraid to say. It's sometimes they're pretending to be somebody that they're not, or that they think they should be. And that's even more exhausting. And even more resistance comes up mm-hmm. around that. But we both see it. So many people are putting themselves in the online space, whether it's a podcast, stories, YouTube, social, whatever platform you're using, and they're finding resistance around doing the showing up part, creating visibility, creating awareness that they even exist, because they're so worried about whoever is potentially going to see this message or see this post or hear this episode. So it blocks them from letting things flow naturally. You know, when we're in natural conversation with somebody, it doesn't always make sense. It goes left, it goes right, it goes sideways. Sometimes you say something, you're like, oops, shouldn't have said that. But for some reason, we're okay with that. But when it comes to putting something out that might be somewhat permanent, we're like, oh, we have to edit that. We have to make sure it's perfect. We have to make sure like everybody feels like they're included. We're a whole in the society of like everybody gets a first place ribbon. I'm a boy mom. I have a 12-year-old and I'm like, bro, if you don't bust ass to get that shit like together, if you don't do the homework, you're going to get an F. If you don't show up on the baseball field with your full effort, you're not going on the lineup. You don't get a first place trophy. And I wasn't raised that way. And so I'm very much that way with people where I'm like, your results are a direct reflection of your efforts. And so if your effort is fake, if your effort is not true to you, if it's not in alignment, people recognize that. The bullshit meter has been turned up a notch. Our census came down during COVID and people are just like, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
That's fake, a great fake. Observation.
You
it's
know? Such,
it's so good too, because I think the fear of getting started also permeates through the, you know, through this idea of the fear of what other people are going to say about me if I put something out there that I believe, whether it's religious or it's political. People that I know in some of the circles that I belong to have talked about, you know, becoming a Christian. They found faith through COVID. And one of the things they talk about is like, I don't want to start talking about, because if I do, I'm afraid of what other people who follow me are going to say because I believe in Jesus. But it's their authentic truth. And it's so refreshing to see you use the analogy of the conversations you're having at bars. And I'm sure the conversations you had being at, you know, in your former chapter of your life or former life, being a hairstylist, like those conversations were unfiltered. They were unscripted and people were probably pouring their hearts out to you. And, you know, I think it's really interesting now that as you're saying all these things, I just keep thinking about like, what will people say about my faith and my belief? I want to dive into this, the gender aspect here, because we don't really talk about gender as much, because I just don't think anybody so far has really brought it up. And you said something really interesting about the programming women have been through over the years about, quote, keeping their mouth shut or falling in line, or women don't, you know, don't say fuck, or they don't swear, or they don't act brash. And there was such a candidness to you in expressing how you tell your son, like, hey, you don't do your homework, you're going to get a nap. And you said in a lot more colorful way than, you know, than probably I would have said if I had a 12-year-old kid. And then I think about now, I probably would have said it just as colorful, if not more. What allowed you through personal development work, circles you've ran in, what allowed you to feel like you had the permission to speak that way that felt so candid and felt so good to you, to be that expressive without worrying about what other people are going to say about you, whether it's parenting your son that way, or it's speaking on your podcast that way, or even if it's coaching your clients that way?
It's interesting because just for context, I'm going to be 43 this month. So this was developed over time, and this unapologetic, you know, thing that I'm standing on right now, this podium that I put myself on, where I do run by myself. I don't compare myself to what other people or how other people are doing it. There's comparisons of life, of course, right? But this came from doing what I was told to do. That's where my book premise came from. It's called Come As You Are, The Art of Unbecoming Who They Told You to Be. And this is like a common reoccurring theme I hear people talk about now, of unbecoming who they were told they were meant to be or supposed to be or how they were supposed to act. I mean, use the context for whatever you want it to mean. Find yourself in the story, because at one point we were all told what we should do by parents, teachers, and more so a lot of times what we shouldn't do. And, you know, I think a lot of people fell in line, men and women, but especially women. That's not appropriate. That career's not a good choice. You're never going to find a husband that way. If you don't do this, then this will happen. If you're not thin enough, but you can't be too thin. And if you're pretty, but you can't be too pretty. And if you're too opinionated, then you're bossy. And if you're too successful, men won't like you. Like, there was a whole meme on it the other day that I was like, wow, like we're always in a rock and a hard place. It seems like we can't ever do enough and we can't ever do too much. It's insane. And I know it to be true for men as well. So I never want to leave people out, because like I said, I'm a boy mom. So I'm mindful of how I show up and how I teach him, the language that I use, because I grew up, you know, my parents were entrepreneurs and it looked like a struggle. It looked like a challenge. And so they didn't want that for me. So they were like, don't do what we've done. You know, go get a safe job, go get a secure job, go do this, go do that. But, you know, I also have a mom who's very proper. She was raised to, you know, be proper, and that's how she rolls. And I've seen the direct effect of what that does to her. She plays small in a sense because she wants to fit in. She shows up just enough, but never too much. She once said to me that she keeps her business the way it is because she wants to be the big fish in the small pond always. Mm. And I remember hearing these phrases over, you know, my childhood and life and thinking, that doesn't resonate with me. I don't want to be the big fish in a small pond. That sounds awful. You know, that means you're the smartest person in the room. And I love to learn. And I think we're all innately gifted with different skill sets and desires in life. And none of us are the same. And we'll use your example of people finding religion and being Christian. You know, I grew up being Catholic. I am Catholic. And it's my son went to Catholic school from kindergarten through fifth grade. But it's not what I lead with. It's who I am. It's a part of me. It's just like, I don't start with, hi guys, I'm a mom. Or, hi guys, I'm a hairdresser.
And I'm Christian too. Yeah.
And I'm, if you want to announce your faith, if you want to say I'm a faith-based woman or I'm this or I'm that, you can label yourself anything you want. And I learned that in the beauty industry. I literally got to show up as any person I wanted behind the chair. I could come in looking goth. I could shave my head. I could dye it purple. I could use foul language. I could be pretty improper because it was such a creative freedom of expression of a place. I really got to find myself over the years when I was with clients. But what I noticed was you would get the clients that you were the reflection, like attracts like. So I started to lean more into what felt good and lead conversations the way I like them. And people will tell you anything. The second you touch them, there's something about that energy frequency of like a hand on the shoulder. It may be the first time someone's touched them in a few months or that someone's actually looked at them in the mirror or, you know, put their fingers through their hair. It's a very intimate thing that you do with your hairdresser. I know so much about my clients. It's wild. And I could get it out of them in like 20 minutes.
I didn't even think of that. It's so crazy because I didn't even think about it like that. I didn't like, yeah, wow. I didn't even think about that.
It's wild. Yeah. So through all of that and through people saying things to me like, you're the only person I've ever told this to, or you're the first person I'm telling that I'm pregnant or I'm getting divorced, or there's just so many intimate moments. But a lot of pain and frustration and resistance come from people not owning their truth. I'm not happy in this relationship. I'm not happy in this job. I don't want to be living in the city anymore. I don't want to be doing what I'm doing. All of this stuff that holds people back. And I'm like, if you could truly speak your truth, if you could own your truth, you'd be able to tell somebody and ask for the help or ask to get out of a situation or not give a fuck and just get out of it. But that's a lot harder, we all know, than to actually do. It's easier to say all this stuff. And that's why motivation and, you know, rah-rah pep talks are great. But having like a person to walk with you through life, like a life coach or a business coach, depending on what season you're in, or someone who's like a holistic mix of both, is which what I found myself in that category because of all that space I held for 20 years. And then now, you know, learning all the things, like you're becoming a master at YouTube. You have this craft and skill set you can help somebody with. But first, it's like, why do you want the YouTube channel? Why do you want to be successful? Mm. Why do you want visibility with the podcast? Where does that come from? So that's why we dive into like who you are. And so getting to the root of who people are at their core, like who were you before somebody told you not to think like that? Who were you before someone said, that's not a real job or that's not what you should do? It's like unpacking all of the bullshit and really figuring out in this season now that you're in, right? Maybe when in your 20s, like if I would have done this in my 20s then, and so many people live with regret, they live in regret now. If I would have started then I would this. And it's like, okay, well, today is today. Yeah,
there's always
that
reflection.
Yeah.
There's always that reflection. Yeah.
Always. How do we go from here with what you now know and step into that authenticity pace? What would you do if anything was possible? Like the whole, you know, if we can wave a magic wand, money wasn't an issue, this wasn't a thing, who would you be? What would you do? And most people cannot answer that question. You know that, Mike.
Yeah, of course.
Asking somebody, what do you want, is literally the hardest question you can ask somebody.
Well, and you know, it's so funny because I remember last year when I was going through an evolution in the summertime, that question kept coming back to me. What do I want? I don't even know what it is I want to be known for. And it's one of my favorite questions I ask people when they tell me about these big dreams and these aspirations. I go, what do you want to be known for? And I got that question from my dad because my dad used to be in the ad agency business. And that was like personal, the archaic version of personal branding, right? He's kind of like, I describe him as like a Don Draper at the time. He like wore the power ties and like, you know, the fucking 80s suits, the big suits. And like, I would walk in and do these like, what do you think of this, Nestle, of these like big billboard stuff. And I've talked about this before because I learned a lot about branding and storytelling from my time at 8 years old being in that agency. And it was really interesting when you talked about the permission that people are not giving themselves to express their authenticity. And I remember my dad expressing himself in his full authentic manner to clients about, this is what we think it is. Oh, you don't like it? Okay, cool. Like, I agree with that. Or this is where I think we need to like take it a little bit more. In this day and age, it's a little bit different because, you know, there's echo chambers everywhere and there's people who are just coming out of the woodworks and like trolling you online with like something you said. You don't even know who these people are. They just found you and disagreed with your content. Something I wanted to come back to was women not feeling like they can show up as their authentic selves. And I think you're starting to see that more. I've been seeing it at least, like having a fiance who's very much showing up in her truth on a day-to-day basis. You're one of the women that I've had the privilege to know that shows up authentically, you know, walks the walk, talks the talk. Yet there's still a whole group of women out there that might be listening to this going, it sounds like it's so easy for Jess to just be able to be her authentic truth. Like she cusses, she tells people what she thinks. She tells people like, this is where you want to be. This is how you get there. Like that's the cheerleader aspect. But a woman who's listening to this right now might be freezing. And I don't mean physically like shaking because it's cold outside and we're recording this in winter, but more so of the fact that they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And they're hearing you right now. What do you say to them to have them take that first step? How do you get them to unfreeze and start moving towards the authenticity that more than likely they crave and desire in their life?
Well, first becoming aware that that's what you're craving. If I'm triggering you by what I'm saying and you're thinking it must be nice or how did she get here, then that's the curiosity piece that you should lean into and embrace versus how did she get there? I'm never going to get there. You know, asking those better questions, I'm sorry, of how did you get there? Yeah. And we fight for our limitations or we fight for our right to show up authentically. And for many years, I fought to fit in by doing the things I was told I should be doing. So there was a fight in me always. It was just not serving me at the end of the day to try to do things like somebody else. But I would have never known that if I hadn't tried. It's like putting on a pair of jeans. You're like, I like these or I don't like them. And that's the beautiful thing about life. And especially with this online space of the wild, wild west of you literally can be anything you want. What do you want to be known for? And now in the day and age of personal branding, you know, back in the day when your dad was doing agency stuff, that was for companies, for brands that were generally faceless, right? Yeah. Like the Nike swoosh. Whenever we see the logos that we know, we don't think of a face. We know now Nike because we've seen the movie, right? But like before that, nobody knew who Phil Knight was. Like you still, you know, he wrote a book, right? But you still maybe don't know what his face looks like. So these brands preceded the people that created them. And now we're individually like these brands. And so your face is the brand. You're selling yourself. You're selling your energetic frequency. Money is an energy. And so every day you get to choose how you're showing up. And so if just for 1% each day, you can put yourself out there, whatever your 1% is, and I'm speaking to women and men at this point, it's not about how do I get to Jess's step that she's on, right? Because my step 10 could be your step 3. Yeah. It may have taken me way longer because you're getting to hear this podcast right now. Maybe you have a better learning curve than I did. I love to do things wrong about 10 times before I realize how to do them right. I'm like, oh, that didn't work out. I'm gonna try it again. Oh, nope, didn't work out again. You know, I just have this propensity to just choose the hard path. And I always saw it as like a weakness. But what it is it's built this level of resilience and resourcefulness that nothing takes me out. I'm like, yeah, cool. That looks like a failure on the outside. I give no Fs. I've been able to squash the ego down so much so that I can make decisions based off what I really want versus what I think everybody else wants me to do. You know, walking away from a fully booked clientele, owning a 5-chair salon that was thriving, it was making profit, we were good, we had picked back up after COVID, and you know, my 200 plus roster of clients were happy, everybody was happy. That's a lot of people to let down and disappoint when you decide that you want to take a different path in life.
Yeah, when you want to do something else, yeah.
Yeah. If I had stayed exactly the same, every single person in my life would have been happier and better off. I've lost a best friend that I had since I was 13 due to this like growth and shift and you know, newfound path of really leaning into who I want to be and how I want to show up. And like your ultimate question, what I want to be known for. You know, there's a lot of resistance with my mom, but there's a level of respect there. At least she, like, we keep it the respect game. She's always trying to parent my kid on the side. And I'm like, yo, you had your opportunity. It's my turn to fuck up. It's my turn to try things on for size. It's my turn. And so I shift the perspective on the days when she's really frustrating me. And I'm like, thankfully, thank God I have somebody who cares so much about me. She's going to give me her 2 cents and tell me what Jordan Peterson said I should do. You know, so it's always something. It's always your mom. It's your friend. It's people that don't even know you, like you said, on the internet. It's potential clients questioning your worth. It's literally everybody. And it's not black or white. So it's not like, oh, if you're an entrepreneur, these are your challenges. Or if you're in the C-suite executive, you know, corporate world, it's so much easier. We all fight our own battles of what we're willing to play at and how we're willing to show up. And again, we all have different levels of what success and fulfillment means to us. Some people want a really simple, quiet life. Some people want that jet set, everything has champagne life. So whoever you are, the ultimate question goes back to what do you want? Mm-hmm. And then it's never the how, right? Like our favorite mentor says, it's not the how. It's the who. Who do you need to be connected to in order to help you get there? And hopefully this podcast is doing the little something and get you fired up where you're like, the little voice, she was like talking. Now she's kind of yelling at me. And when she starts screaming or he inside of there, that's when it's time to start asking the who. Who can help me? Who can help me map this out? Who can help me get all this jumbled shit out of my head and onto a piece of paper, right? You're great at strategizing. That's my strong suit. Our girlfriend, Kareen, you know, get somebody who can take all of the thoughts, help you process it, diffuse it,
and then it.
That's magic.
And for people out there that are listening to this right now and maybe just encaptured by the advice that you're saying, I want to give people a little bit of a peek behind the curtain into you. And you just mentioned something about the ego and you've squashed it. When does the ego pop up for you? In what areas and what arenas? And how do you go about navigating when your ego is so strong and maybe might be telling you, not today, Jess, no growth today. Stay back. Stay where you are.
I'd want to ask a question back to you because I think the definition of our ego is different for everybody. Sure. And again, shows up differently. So I'll guess to the question you're asking me because I feel like a lot of times, you know, and again, I always just shout out my mentor, Chris Harder. Ego is your biggest overhead. And it's the thing that will, excuse my language, I know I'm terrible, cock block your business.
It's okay.
I know. Listen, I have two brothers.
Freedom of speech here.
I have two brothers. Here. It is what it is, right? My dad was super crass. So, but we get a visual. You know what the heck I'm talking about when I say that. Yeah. Your ego will block you from saying hi to that pretty girl at Starbucks. Your ego will block you from, you know, making that phone call. Oh, they're going to reject me. Like the ego steals so much from you. So if you flip the script on the ego being like a safety net and you're like, if I was okay with whatever outcome, I'd say hello to her. If the ego was okay with failing, you'd say, you know, I'm starting a podcast. And then maybe you don't, right? But people are so afraid, again, back to the earlier point of what will people think? That's the ego to me. The ego there is being so worried about yourself. And if you are...
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're in a service-based business, it's not about you. Ultimately... Mm-hmm. Right? You're in business for yourself, for the freedom, for the money, for the whatever. But if you are driving a business based off of just your needs, wants, and desires, like there has to be an equal exchange. So you have to care more about the service you're providing or the transformation. And in that work, that's where the ego's just gone out the window, you know? And I'm okay to puff my chest at times and call my shot and, you know, brag on some of my experiences to my clients as a way to show them what's possible. So now I've turned what felt like an egotistical comment, a brag, into, hey, well, this is what happened to me. This could happen for you. Or, hey, this is how it didn't work out for me. And if I would have done this and this and not let my ego get in the way, therefore, I think you should go for it. So it can be a really powerful tool to sit with and understand, like, is it my ego or is it fear? Because really the ego will keep you playing small, actually, versus putting you on the pedestal we think of when we think of egotistical people. They're generally the most insecure, you know, unfulfilled, people. So, and we all know them. We all have experienced someone who was in that, you know. Does that answer that question?
Yeah. I would love to have you share a personal example of where that situation of the ego preventing you from getting the thing that you want the most has shown up for you in your life. Mm-hmm. And it could be, you know, the next evolution that you're in. I know with Unscripted and building this, you know, empire, so to speak, where you have your mastermind, the podcast, there's the agency, you're building all these things, they're feeling very true to you. But can you give me some personal examples, and maybe some of our listeners here, of when your ego comes up, in what situations, and how do you self-correct, course-correct those times where the ego is so strong, preventing you from reaching out to somebody that maybe is somebody you don't think you belong in the same room with, or what have you?
I had to learn to flex that muscle a lot in the beauty industry, you know, with charging.
That's a great one. Talk about price. I love that. Yeah.
Pricing, and then also walking them up, letting them know they need an additional $300 in products. So there was a lot of mindset around sales. There was a lot of mindset around selling myself and my services, what my time was worth and what my skill set was worth, even though I had invested tens of thousands of hours and dollars into my education. No one ever spoke to me about, you know, money and how to position yourself. And so the ego has kept me from making the kind of money I deserve to make based off of the effort I'd put in all those years. And it wasn't until the last, you know, few years of my career that I really started to charge more because I wanted to work less. So the math had to make sense. I'm like, I can't just cut my leg off over here. How can I make the same amount of money and work less? I'm like, well, I'm a value now because I'm less accessible. So therefore my worth just went up. I know that I can deliver on the product, which is that thing they're leaving with, the hair transformation. And therefore I need to make this much. So therefore it's a very simple, non-emotional decision of this is what I need to charge. And if there are people willing to pay that, amazing. It's like that sweet spot. And that's what we see really online with a lot of these online services and coaching and mastermind and programs. Like we sat in a room together for $5,000 for 2 days. I've been to rooms that are, you know, just as powerful for $200 or free. So it's all a matter of, you know, creating that, not the ego, but like that kind of brand, if you will, and owning that truth of the brand. But, you know, the ego has held me back in ways because I, like I said, have missed out on making the kind of money I should have early in my career. The ego has not allowed me to say no to certain clients I didn't want to work with. So I was miserable working with certain people for years, right? Every time her name would be on the books, I'd be like, oh God, worst day ever. amount of money would have made that better, right? So it can kind of shoot you in the foot anyway. But then you start to tune into how you're feeling. And it's usually pain points that take you out, where you're like, I can't do this anymore. If something doesn't change, like I'm out. And so our ego is there to protect us and to serve us and to share with us like what we're really feeling. It's like when we feel triggered by people, a lot of times that's really the ego popping up. I should be where she's at. And I hear this all the time, and I'm definitely not calling anybody out by name, but I have friends, I have peers that will say things to me in confidence, even like, you know, I'm doing everything that she's doing. Why don't I have those opportunities? Why haven't I had the downloads on my podcast like she has? How come I'm trying to do X, Y, Z? It looks like I'm doing everything that person's doing. Why am I not getting the same results? I'm like, because of the energy you're driving right now. That's why.
The comparison is the thief of joy. And yeah, I resonate a lot with that. I think early in my career, I had pricing challenges and objections. How do I want to describe this? When I was in the early part of my career, I remember subconsciously would create price objections before I would even encounter the price objections. I was like negotiating against myself so much. And I think that and it's like crazy now, because I'm like, I didn't even give myself a chance to make money. I didn't even give myself a chance. And for those of you out there right now, they're like, man, this resonates with me. Like Jess and Mike have gone through the exact same shit that I went through with pricing, or I'm still navigating this and I'm still trying to figure this out. I think you said something that was really great and very practical. Most of us have the desire to make more money and do it in less time. So start thinking about for yourselves, is there a way that you can create more value in your services that justifies a price increase. Maybe, maybe not. That's one way to look at it. Some of you out there have an amazing product and amazing service and are not charging more because you're afraid people are going to leave you if you raise your prices. Maybe thinking about going after a different type of clientele. Maybe thinking about, you know, the value that you're already bringing is so underpriced that the energy behind that price increase would be matching what you've done, right? And I think that's those are some practical ways on top of what Jess has shared with all of you, is think about practical ways.
Yeah.
And then, you know, energetically match yourself with that increase. And something you said, Jess, that, you know, this whole like, I want to almost call it like a methodology, but it's not really. It's kind of like an ideology about showing up as your like authentic self in your business, in your life, in the way that you speak, and the way that you carry yourself, all in alignment with who you are. We have people in this audience that run their own business and they're successful, but they know there's a yearning for more. They desire more. And they're hearing you right now, or I should say, the business is great, but they still don't feel like it's theirs. It's not really what they want to be doing.
Mm.
If you're listening to this right now and you're making good money, but you still feel like this business isn't fully yours, like you're still not saying what you want to say, you're still not acting how you want to act, and it's causing a lot of conflict within you, Jess, can you speak to these people who are looking for a way to show more of their authentic self in their business, who may have the fear that they'll lose clients if they start maybe acting more brash, or they start aligning themselves in their truth and having different opinions that may or may not be in alignment with the people that they serve? But if they crave that authenticity, how does somebody start moving towards that and navigating the fear of, what if I lose people because I'm wanting to share more of what feels good and in alignment to me?
I love how lengthy and in-depth that question was, because that whole time you were asking the question, different scenarios were like popping up in my head. And 22 years behind the chair, you guys, is a long fucking time. Like, it's a long time. I started in beauty school at 19. So I cannot stress enough how just being yourself will open up so much space for the right people to come into your world. And they will say things to you like, I can't believe you only charge this much. You should be charging me more. I used to have clients say that to me at the salon. You should charge more. Who says that? I don't say that to, well, that's not true. I have two people, my lash girl and my nail girl. I tell them both, you don't charge enough. So I make up for it in a tip. I pay them really, really well because I always want them to give me an appointment when I ask for one. So I have a reason for wanting to pay them more and treating them nicely, and they always get me in. So that's just a little side, you know, whatever. But to answer that question, honestly, if you are running a business right now and say you've been at it for a while and you worked really hard to gain the traction that you have a decent set of clients, or you've come to a place in your business where you're making really good money at one point, maybe you thought you'd never get to this point. So there's that ego where you're like, I did it, so I have to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. I've aligned myself with brands or people, or maybe you have people on your team that like, you just have to show up in a way that you know it's not you anymore. Maybe you've outgrown the season of growth that you went through for the last 10 or 20 years. That's what happened to me. And so what I did to weed out some of that was significantly raise my prices. I said, if people really want a piece of me and they really want that transformation, they will pay this dollar. And if they don't, that is my sign, because this is how much I now want to make in my life. And if it has to come in a different form of a business, so be it. I'll figure that out.
That's so good.
But right now, I want to utilize the clientele that I've built and everything that I've like gotten so much momentum with over here. Let's just test this out and see. I was at a point where I was willing to eat Top Ramen, go move back in with my mom, sell my car, do anything, because the pain point was so strong that no matter how much money I was making, it didn't matter. I was not fulfilled every day at the salon. I wasn't happy with that exchange of energy every day. Like, I have a kid. I want to pick him up from school. I want to take him to practice. He's homesick today. I'm here podcasting. My why, what do you want? That came back to time freedom. I didn't want to be tied to a brick and mortar anymore. So it started to become less about those people and more about what I wanted, but I still wanted to show up in service. So there's that ego piece, or that part that you talked about of, you know, if people are feeling out of alignment or not authentic anymore, there's a levels to it. And this is the kind of stuff I work really detailed with my clients about, because everybody comes in with this surface level problem. I feel burnt out. I'm not making enough money. I'm not happy. Like, and then it's four or five levels deeper to what's really going on as to what's making you feel like this up here. So when we get to the root of that, what is really bothering you now? Why is this that once worked or what was somewhat okay at some point in your business and now it's not? Because some people wake up and all of a sudden they're like, oh, I'm not happy anymore. You know, like I said earlier, COVID kind of brought everything to the fore. Our emotions are heightened now. We're ultra sensitive. We really all want to be taking care of ourselves. We want to be in alignment used to piss me off. And don't get it twisted. Alignment's not like ease and flow and everything's great and, you know, life's easy. Alignment means that even on days where shit's hard and it's tough and it might not be working out, you're like, this is where I'm still supposed to be.
Right. I love that. I think it's so, that is so true. It's one aspect of, you know, you can, with alignment comes flow. But I think the way that you phrased that about, you know, no matter how good or not so good your days are, you're doing exactly the thing. You know, that's why entrepreneurship's a game. It's a game you play for the rest of your life. And you can stay on that path as long as you want to. One of my favorite things that I heard over the weekend at the dinner series with, you know, with Dean Graziosi, when he was speaking to us at the in the room. And it was so crazy, Jess, you know, as we approached the last segment of the interview, he was telling us it, like all of this amazing wisdom. And here I am sitting with my iPad out and I got my fucking pencil with me. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be gold. This is going to be gold. And I look at my notes now and I wrote down all these notes and I went, I already knew all of this. Like, I knew all of this. And I'm not saying that from an egotistical way, but I wrote all this down. And then I was like, why did I write all this down? And then it clicked with me that something that he said was, I'm not here to teach you anything. I'm here to be a reminder to you. Mm. And I was like, man, that is so good, because I needed that reminder. And for those of you listening out there, I hope Jess and myself are becoming a reminder for you that you have permission to act authentically, to be you, to charge more, to show up and do what's more important to you, you know, for you in all of this. And I think something you said, Jess, that I'd love to explore more as I kind of dive back into like this notes portion of my computer. Well, there you go. Hold on. Stand by a second. Okay, there we go. We do things live here on the show. Time freedom. Mm. Man, that is so good. People think if I make the money first, then I can have the time to do whatever I want. The 9 to 5, you know, once I make enough money, then I can just tell everybody to kick rocks and I'm going to be on the beach drinking Mai Tais, right? I don't know if Mai Tais are still a thing, but like you get where I'm going with this. You had mentioned multiple times time freedom. That was your value. That was the thing that you're doing no matter what. That's like being in control of your time, being home with your son and picking up from school and being there for his games. When you strip back the layers of everything that you've ever wanted and cultivated, what was it about time freedom that became the main focus for you?
It's a mix between time freedom and location freedom. So what I've learned about myself through these last 5 years of really pivoting and trying something new on, right, moving into the online coaching space, is I love to work. And I don't ever want my work to feel like work. And so if I can be watching my kid hit a home run while I'm closing a sales call and screaming my head off, you know, as I mute myself, that to me is freedom.
Has that happened before?
That is unscripted right there. Right? No, I mean, yeah, multiple times I've taken calls or answered emails when he's like sitting in the thing, or, you know, it's not him up to hit or whatever. There's beautiful pockets of time in my life now where my work feels easy and in alignment and flow. Whereas when I had to be in a physical space, it did for the first 12 years, it was the best thing ever. I loved the vibe of the salon. I loved the music. I loved all of like everything that we created, the culture of the space. That was everything to me. You know, when you walk into a sick restaurant or a hotel, like it's a vibe. And I love that I was a part of creating something like that. But now in a season of life, I'm in a different season. And once he goes off to college, maybe I'll want a brick and mortar again. I don't know. But for now, like, yeah, the time freedom to create income and not have a massive overhead, not be responsible for a whole team of people plus their clientele. You know, it was time freedom in that aspect because everything comes home with you at some point. It's really difficult to separate things. And I've had to get really discerning on my time when I'm, quality time is a love language of mine. So I really want to give that to other people. When I'm with you, I'm present, I'm engaged. And, you know, that's it. Bottom line, that's like who I am. And yeah. That's really important to me. So can I still do all the things I need to do throughout my day? Like there's a lot you can do at night. There's a lot I can do at 4 a.m. I'm a morning person, you know, but in the afternoon, I'm dedicated to this work. And most careers or jobs, they don't ebb and flow like that. So, you know, being an entrepreneur, my kid got sick yesterday randomly.
Mm.
Like, and I even said to him, this is why I work so hard all the time, buddy. This is why sometimes I lock the door and you can't come in the office because I'm podcasting. I know it doesn't make all sense, like what mom does, who cares, but I'm here when you need me. And I worked really hard to get here. And so
beautiful.
You reverse engineer everything we've talked about, there's no room for ego in that, what I just said, especially when you're showing up as a parent or you're, you know, about to marry the love of your life. Like you are, Mike, like you're now dead. It's not just about you anymore. There's a service, an exchange. And, you know, I think for anybody who's feeling stuck in their business or who's feeling a little frustrated or unclear, unsure, dig a little deeper. Dean Graziosi has an amazing 7-layer step process to like, what's your why?
Yeah.
And generally everything that we hear and is a perspective shift of something you already knew. You just needed to be reminded from maybe some sassy girl named Jess on a podcast called Unscripted, or a reminder to own and live in your truth from Mike. You know, and that's why everybody can have a podcast. Everybody can have a social media account that creates some sort of impact. And all you have to do is document your life, document your thoughts. You can do that in a kind, loving, respectful way. Even if you're talking about religion and politics, you can. If you want to be fucking polarizing, go for it. Own that shit. You're not worried about what anybody's thinking. But we're talking to the rest of us who do not necessarily want to, you know, piss people off or ruffle feathers. We're here to serve and help and show up in a loving way and have like a heart-centered brand. So we do care what people think. And ultimately, to be a good hairdresser, I was the ultimate people pleaser. So I've learned to love that part of me. And it's not a negative. I don't think I could be and do what I do if I didn't really want to please people. And so I've shifted everything that might have seemed like a negative or that somebody wanted to say was not right, or I shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't work so much. I'm like, that's for you. Listen to Alex Hormozi. All he does is work. You want to talk to somebody who's figured it out? They Netflix and they work. He's like, come for me. What? Like, you live your life, I'll live mine. And so I love seeing and finding examples of people who are living in their truth and in their aligned purpose. Yeah. And I go follow them.
So good.
I don't follow the other people who have their opinions that make me feel like shit. I'm like, yeah, you're cool. You keep that. Right. And sometimes it's my mom. Sometimes it was my best friend. So I know what category those people are for me in my life. And I go to them with the appropriate conversations. And I've taken ownership of that space. And, you know, you let people be who they are.
Yeah. That's such a beautiful way for us to end today. And before I ask my last question, I ask every single guest, Jess, thank you for being an amazing light in the world. And your energy was just, you brought it today. And so I just thank you. And I hope everybody out there that's listening today and watching this on YouTube really resonates with the permission to be able to express yourself freely and to go pursue your goals and your dreams in any manner that you see fit. That's what this show is all about. That's what Jess's podcast is all about, Unscripted the Podcast. Go check it out. Jess Bergio, thank you so much. Last question for you, my friend. As you know, we ask every single guest what their definition is of living their truth. So, Jess, what's your personal definition of living your truth?
I think I talked about it for the last 48 minutes on this podcast.
You did.
Very well interviewed all of that out of me. Thank you for allowing me the space to process that. Because every time we get to talk about ourselves in this sort of a way, you learn something more about yourself. You build a new level of confidence. And so owning my truth is just being okay with being myself.
Mm.
And knowing that it's enough and it's going to be for the right people. Yeah, that feels like my answer.
I love that. So good. Jess Bergio, thank you for joining the show. And thanks to all of you for tuning into this week's episode of Live Your Truth Now. If you like what you heard, go ahead and give us a follow on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your audio podcasts. You can also watch other episodes of the Live Your Truth Now podcast on the Live Your Truth Media YouTube channel. This is Mike Liguori. I'll see you guys next week. Take care.